Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just pray that you will open your word to us this morning. Lord, that you will use me as your mouthpiece, and anything that's not of you, Lord, just blow it away like chaff on the wind, because we only want to hear from you, because only you have got the words that lead to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be with us all now as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Passage I'm going to read from is from Romans 8, 5 to 17. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glory. Strong passage. And having read it, I just brought to mind, what is our purpose? It doesn't matter who you are. We all need to have a purpose in our lives. That's what drives us. That's what satisfies us. That's what gets us out of bed in the mornings. For some people, it might be their jobs, maybe their hobbies. And that's quite normal. But why then do so many people feel that they've got something missing in their lives? Well, I'm sure it's because inside each of us, there is a hole, a void that only God can fill. And it's only when we have God in our lives that we can truly experience His joy and His peace, His grace and His mercy in our lives. It's only when you realize that you were planned to bring pleasure to God in the first place. And once you realize that and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, only then does the source of your purpose change, when you know and love God. That is when we realize that He is the only one who is worthy and deserving of our worship, when we become members of His family. God wants you and me to learn to love others and get along in His family. And the Bible calls this process fellowship. We're going to look at God's purpose for putting each of us here on this earth. And the first reading is from Romans 8:29, which reads, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. From the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and he knew who would, should be like his Son." Our God is a wonderful God. His plans never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his purpose has always been to enable us to grow into the likeness of his Son. From the very beginning, the Bible tells us that God created us in his own image. And he wants us to be like him. And we all know from Scripture that Jesus says, "No one has seen the Father, but if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Now, if you know Jesus, you know the Father. Now, don't get me wrong, he's not saying that you're going to be a god. You may have admirers, yeah, we've all been there, who think that maybe you are, and maybe in your own mind from time to time you might think you're a bit of a god, but it's important to remember that we're not. God doesn't want you to be a god. He wants you to become godly. He wants you to develop his character, the way he thinks, the way he acts, the way he feels. He wants you to share his values, his moral character. God wants to make you like himself. And that's God's plan for putting us here on this planet. And he will eventually achieve that goal. And we will be like Jesus, his Son. It may take a lifetime. It may not be till we see him and meet with him in glory. But God's plan is steadfast. If we look at Ephesians 4 and verse 15, we are told, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." You see from Scripture, whatever Scriptures you read, that God wants us to grow up like Christ in everything. But what does that mean, to grow up? It means exactly what it says. God wants us to grow up to be like Christ. To grow up, you know, babies are quite cute. You know, we've just had a new great granddaughter, and she's cute. You know, but can you imagine what it would be like? It'd be such a shame if she was to remain just like that cute little baby. It would get boring after a while, wouldn't it? You know, all those nappies forever having to change them. But whenever you know that they're going to grow up, then you've got to put your trust in God as how they grow up and do your bit to enable them to grow up like he has planned for them. God wants us to mature, as I said. And when just let us take a long look at Jesus. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people grow older, me being one. And sometimes we never grow up completely. We still remain a bit of childishness. And we won't grow up completely until we are perfect like Jesus. You know, but a lot of people grow older, but they never grow up. If you belong to him, the Lord, his purpose in life is to change you into his likeness. God has given us a model of what he wants us to grow up to be. In Colossians 1:15, we read, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." So when we look at Jesus, the Son, we can see God's original plan and purpose in everything he created. It's a process, and it won't happen overnight. It's not like just one day, all of a sudden, somebody goes zap, and you change. You know, it's a process, and it's called discipleship. And discipleship, some people don't really realize where discipleship comes from, but we get discipline from discipleship as well. For without discipline, we're never going to grow. And just like when we've got young children, you've got to show them a roadmap. You've got to have discipline. You've got to have rules for them. Otherwise, they're not going to grow. They're not going to improve. And we need the same. And it can take an entire lifetime. It can take the rest of our lives for God to build character in us. A character that reflects the qualities of His Son. How does He do it? How does He make us like Jesus? Well, there are a couple of ways we all know. We know that He uses His Word in the Bible and Scriptures. It takes truth to transform us. If you really want to grow spiritually, you have to get into His Word. And the more you get into it, the more you're going to grow. You need to read it. But not only read it, you've got to digest it. You've got to meditate upon it and think about it. And once you've done all of that, then the most important thing, you've got to apply it to your daily living. It's no use having all the answers if you don't use them. So it is important. Yes, it takes truth to transform us. Now, the other thing God uses is people. And that's where the importance of fellowship comes in. Because we can learn from each other. We can be brought down the ground if we are getting too big for our boots by each other in a gentle way. And it's helpful. But we need each other. We need to rub against each other to knock off the rough edges, to enable us to grow and develop together and to grow a closer relationship, both with other Christians and more spiritual mature. You know, the more spiritual mature we become, because we all need help, because none of us are perfect. Scripture tells us, none are perfect, no, not one, for we have all sinned and fall short of God's glory. You know, but God uses people in our lives to help us to grow. And that's why fellowship is so vital. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. But God uses more than just fellowship and His Word. He uses more than, as I said, the Bible. And we're going to look this morning at things that we may not have thought about. If we look at Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, what is His purpose? Well, when we look at Romans 8, 28, it tells us His purpose. All things work for good. You know, to make us like Jesus. And you say, oh, what does that include? Does it include all? Does that include bad things, painful things? Does it include when we make mistakes, when we sin? And the answer is yes, it does. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. It doesn't say all things good because there's a lot of bad in the world. But in all things, God uses it to make us more like Christ. Now, I'm going to look at three unexpected experiences that happened to Jesus. It may have been unexpected to us, but it wasn't unexpected to Jesus because He knew what lay ahead of Him. He had trouble, a troubled time. He felt great pain when He was in the garden. He was tempted in the desert. And He experienced anxiety on the cross. And if we're going to grow to be like Christ, God is going to take us through similar experiences from time to time. Now, the problem is these things don't automatically help us to grow. You have to have your heart ready, because if it's not, you're more likely to become bitter than better by these ordeals. When we experience troubles, which should teach us to place our trust in Him, we might shy away and think, oh, poor me. Now, in the Bible, this word trouble is often called trials. These are situations designed by God to draw us closer to Him. They're not designed to harm us, they're designed to help us. When things are going great in our life, it's great, isn't it? It doesn't feel like you need to have a lot of faith because everything's going so well. But when things go bad, you realize that we need help and we should get down on our knees in prayer and ask for it. You know, but if we don't experience these trials, then it doesn't do us much good. We're not going to grow. We're not going to be stretched. So from time to time, God may inject some trials into our lives to help us to build up our character, our spiritual muscles, if you like. So to speak, let's have a look at Romans 5, verses 3 to 4. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. You know, that verse says to me that God is far more interested in your life, and it's not in what you are, or who you are, or what you do. God is always more interested in who you are, i.e. your character. That's what He is interested in. It's not what your career is. Why? Because you won't be taking your career, your wealth, or your pets, or anything else with you when you leave this world. But what you will be taking with you, the only thing that will last, is your character. God says that our goal in life is character, not career. Our goal in life is character, not personal comfort, or growing wealthy. Now, until we understand this, life isn't going to make a lot of sense. All kinds of problems will come into our lives. You can be sure of that. We are going to ask, why me, Lord, at times? Why is this happening to me? As if your life is supposed to be all sorted once you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. It's important to remember that this is the world that we live in. We're not yet in heaven. One day, God willing, we will be in a place where there will be no problems or trials, where even time will have no relevance. Won't that be great? Eh? No setting the alarm clock, no needing a diary, just relying and enjoying life with the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I often wonder what it's going to be like. What are we going to do? But you know, we don't need to worry, because it's all in God's plans and we're all in God's hands. But in the present, we need to remember, as I said, this is not heaven. And if you think you're going to experience heaven on earth, well, you're going to be disappointed. This is not the place for comfort. This is the place of work, place for character development. So we need to remember what Scripture tells us. Trouble produces patience, patience produces character, and character produces hope. And our hope has got to be in the Lord. Because without the Lord, there is no hope. Every problem has a purpose. It doesn't matter whether you, someone else, or the devil caused it. I don't care. Every problem has an answer, and it has a purpose. And if we use it right, and we use the Lord and all the tools that He gives us, it can only do one thing. It can only help us to build our character and to make us more like His Son. You know, Jesus went through many troubles and trials in His life, but His greatest was the night before He was crucified, because He knew what lay ahead of him. And the intensity of that turmoil in his heart was so great. He was going to take the sins of the whole world upon himself. He was going to die a horrible death on the cross by crucifixion. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he felt burdened of what lay in front of him, he asked his disciples to sit a while with him and pray. Now notice, even Jesus needed friends in times of trouble. That's why we need small groups. That's why we need fellowship. Nobody is expected to go through troubled times alone. Even Jesus needed friends. In Mark 14:32, Jesus says, "If you would wait just here while I go and pray." Again in Mark 34, he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to a point of death." He said to them, "Stay here and keep watch." Now this is major trouble he is going through. Most of you say, "I know that feeling. I have felt like that from time to time, that I couldn't make it through another day." But notice how Jesus responded to this situation. In Mark 34, he prayed, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." You know, if we are serious about growing to become more like Christ, shouldn't we have that same response? "Yet not my will, but what you will." With this I'll finish, a verse from Scripture in Romans 8:17, which reads, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may share in his glory." So it's quite clear there that we have got to share in the suffering. We are going to have to share the suffering in this world. We're going to be persecuted for our faith. Make no doubts about it. You know, but his will be done. And that is one thing that should give us all confidence and strength. Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true. No matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've got a plan for each one of us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and a future. And our hope and our future can only be in Jesus, through and without who there is no way back to the Father. So Lord, we just thank you. We ask you as you continue to help us to grow into the likeness of your Son. And we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Amen.